Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew in chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14 is where we'll find ourselves tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I love being in church, and there's nowhere else I'd rather be. Matthew chapter number 14. This is my first time preaching with a beard here in church, so we'll see. I don't know if I'm going to start dripping sweat from my chin. If I do, forgive me. It is good to see that my wife's grandmother, Shirley, did come back to church tonight. She asked me this morning if I was going to shave before tonight's service, and I told her no, and she said she wouldn't be here. So I'm glad she still made the right choice and came to church tonight. But Matthew chapter number 14. Let's start reading in verse number 22. The Bible says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship, and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when Jesus saw him walking on the and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. We're going to look at this passage tonight and study this and understand tonight from God's Word how to walk on water. How to walk on water. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church today. Lord, we thank you for the freedoms of our country that allow us to meet here peacefully, Lord, without fear of anyone disrupting us or stopping us from worshiping you. And Lord, we thank you for the service this morning. We thank you for the service thus far tonight and just the opportunity to sing praises to you, Lord, to be ministered to in song and special music. Lord, just thank you for all that have taken place in making that possible today. Lord, I pray now as we come to the most important time, Lord, not because of anything I have to say, Lord, but because of opening your word, God, I pray that you would just prepare our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would just stir our hearts, Lord, and help us to focus on you and your word. Lord, I pray and ask that you would just bind the devil from distracting anyone in this room. And Lord, our heart and our focus would be solely upon you. Father, I pray that you would fill me with your spirit. Lord, I've got nothing of myself to offer, but Lord, I pray that you just help me to speak and to say those things, Lord, that you've put on my heart and that you've spoken to me about. And Lord, I pray that you would be magnified and uplifted through this service tonight. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. Has anybody in here ever walked on water? And I venture to say, it's pretty safe to say that the answer is no. Or have you even attempted to walk on water? Now, you may not believe it, but I have attempted to walk on water. When I was in middle school, down the street here at Raymond Park Middle School, in science class, we were there at Raymond Park. I was part of the first groups at Raymond Park, and we have the Indy Island Aquatic Center behind us. If you guys know where Raymond Park is, there's that water place behind it, and so we had access to the pool for gym class and things of that sort. But our science teacher had this bright idea of giving us what seemed like an impossible task of walking on the water. And so what our science project was for that semester, what we had to do was kind of figure a way that we could walk across the pool. Now, as we think about that, we know that that seems quite impossible, and it most certainly proved to be just that. But we had to figure out how it is we could walk on water. Now, I knew the story in the Bible. I knew that Peter walked on water, that Jesus walked on water. I know that that happened, that was possible. But I'll tell you, I did not have faith that it was going to happen again. I didn't believe that something like that was going to take place again. But I was I was a middle school student, so I believed anything was possible. I could fall for anything, and so began to work on my plan to walk across the pool. And as I did that, I began to draw up these plans and went to the department, the Lowe's, and went there and kind of mapped out what I was going to do. And I got two wooden planks, about, 6 feet long. And what I was going to do in my mind is I'm going to crawl across the water. This is the best way to do it. And so as we got those, we then took the kind of like foam noodles or the pool noodles and cut them in half and then surrounded that entire board to make it buoyant. And then I attached on there in the top areas some handles where I could put my hands onto it and I could hold tight. And then manufactured some kind of straps to hold my feet in place. And if you can imagine this, I mean, it seemed logical. It was going to work. I was going to have my hands on it and my knees on it and my feet attached to it and just crawl myself across the pool. It was going to happen. I was going to walk on water. And, I've got to test this. I didn't have a pool, and so I did the next best thing. I used the bathtub. And so I filled the bathtub up with water. I remember this. And, the time came to test it. I had it all surrounded in those pool noodle type of things. And I put them in the water. And, they floated. No big deal. This is a piece of cake. I'm going to walk on water. I'm going to ace this class. This is great. So the time came for us to put it to the test. And so we are there in science class. We go over to the Indy Aquatic Center. And we begin to line ourselves up and get ourselves prepared. And so it finally came my turn. And no one had been successful at that point. But I was fairly confident that this was it. I was going to do it. I was going to defy the odds. I was going to walk on water. And so as I stepped to the edge of the pool, I never really kind of thought about how I was going to get on those little paddles into the water. So I just kind of lay them onto the water, and there they are floating. And I got to kind of decide, how am I going to mount this? Because this is the hardest part. I mean, once I'm on these things, it's gravy. I'm just going to kind of trot myself across the water, and it's going to happen. Well, what I never really thought about was exactly how much weight those little paddles could hold. It was something I never tested, and I never thought about that before. And so I get down on my hands and knees, and I remember reaching out in front of me and grabbing each of those handles and kind of pushing a little bit and feeling it go under a little. But, it's going to work. This is going to happen. I couldn't have my parents help me. I had to do this on my own. I couldn't Google how to do it. Google didn't exist, so I had to figure this out. And so I begin to inch my way out, and then I get it out there, and I go ahead and just go for it. And I put both knees on the paddle, and I sink immediately. There's not even a chance. And I was as a kid, I was the type of one that had to plug my nose if I was going underwater. Well, when you're holding handles, there's no time to plug your nose. And so I plunged beneath the water, and I nearly drowned that day. Maybe not, but I was embarrassed. I mean, I met the fate that everybody else had met. I did not walk on water. And as I think back on that, the only one person successfully made it apart across the water. And the way they did walked on water is they were in a tube, and they pulled themselves across on a rope. And that passed. I don't know how that happened, but anyways, you think about that in a physical sense, that's something that is impossible. You look at something at that, and it doesn't matter how much faith I had in that instance or how much effort I put into it, that was not going to happen. There was no way that I was going to walk on water. The same would be true to you today. I'm not encouraging this, but don't go step to the edge of a pool and say, I'm going to walk on water and just go off the edge or onto the ocean, because you're going to go sinking guaranteed. But I'll tell you this, it's something that did happen. It's something that actually did take place. And although that feat will never be repeated again, it's true that someone walked on water. And that's what we just read about, was somebody walking on water. Now, here's our natural inclination, especially when it comes to Bible stories and when it comes to miracles, is sometimes we forget that these are actual events. That these aren't just stories that we're reading about. It's not story time in the learner's class. It's not story time on Monday night at Awana's. These are actual events. These are actual things that took place. And Peter actually walked on the water, and Jesus actually stood there as a miracle walking on the water. Now, as we've read this story here and we think about this passage here, Jesus and his disciples had just been through quite a bit at this point. If you were to read towards the beginning of this chapter, you would see that they were recovering from the shock and the grief of John the Baptist being beheaded by Herod. And here they are, they're dealing with all of that. And the disciples had later witnessed Jesus perform a miracle, feeding 5,000 people with just two fishes and five barley loaves of bread. And he performed that miracle, feeding 5,000 men plus women and children, with all of that. And now this crowd had been following Christ and his disciples had begun to grow, and it reached the point where the Bible talks about in John chapter number 5 that in the book of John, that they were ready to make him king. They're ready to take him at this point and make him king. And so Jesus knows that, and he knows he's got to handle this properly and dismiss things accordingly. So he takes his disciples aside. He takes them there to the shoreline, and he loads them into the boat, and he says, "It's time for you to go across the other side. It's time for you to cross the sea. You go before me. I'll be there with you in just a moment. I've got to send you on our way." And the Bible says that Jesus had to constrain them. They didn't want to go. They didn't want to leave his presence. They knew his power. They knew what was going on and how important this was. And that was something that had to be constrained by Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, they eventually obeyed and went in and pushed off from the shore, heading across the sea. Now, as that's happening, Jesus then goes to the crowd and he dismisses them. It's time for them to go. It's time for them to head home. It's time for them to be gone for the evening. It's nighttime at this point anyways. And the Bible says that after all of that, that Jesus finds himself alone to pray. He finds himself alone to pray. And as Jesus is spending this time in prayer, the Bible says that about the fourth watch, which would be about 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. in the morning, that here they are, they find themselves in the middle of the sea, and they're being tossed to and fro, and the winds are contrary, and they're beginning to no doubt see water come into the boat and begin to wonder what's going to happen and what's happened with Jesus and what's taking place here. And here they are, they find themselves in the middle of the sea, and Jesus knows very much about this. He was not surprised that this had happened. He knew this was going to happen, and he knows exactly what he's dealing with. And in his timing, that fourth watch, Jesus approaches the ship. Now, at this point, they've been toiling for hours and hours, and Jesus comes and makes himself available to his disciples. You would read in another passage that he would have walked by if they never called upon him, but he was making himself available, knowing that his disciples would need him. And so as he begins to draw nearer to them, the disciples look and they begin to see a figure there as the lightning flashes, and they see just the shadow of a figure. They're not sure of what they're seeing. They're not sure what their eyes are beholding, and they begin to be fearful, wondering if this is some kind of a spirit. Is there some kind of a ghost that's walking on the water towards us, some kind of a spirit? What's going on here? And the Bible says that they are beginning to be gripped with fear. Now, before you would go and criticize the disciples, you would be fearful too. Out in the middle of the ship, your boat's already about to go under, and just you look off in the distance, and in the crash of lightning and the flash of light, you see a shadowy figure walking towards you. If you wouldn't be afraid, you're a lot braver than most people. But here they are, they find themselves quite fearful until Jesus gets close enough to them and he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And with that, I believe their fears began to dissolve. Now what happens next is nothing short of a miracle at all. Peter asks for permission to step out on the water and walk towards Christ. This is the only passage in which this is recorded, and yet Peter asked for permission to step out on the water and come towards Christ. And that permission is granted. He begins to walk on the water just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Now, I don't know how that happened. I don't know if the water became solid. I don't know if they overcame gravity and were able to walk on top of the water. I don't know how it happened, but I believe it happened. I believe it happened, and here they are. They're walking on water. And a few steps in, Peter begins to realize and notice what's going on, and the winds and the waves are boisterous around him. He's being influenced by his fear, and he begins to sink. And he cries out to Jesus for help. And as we read there, Jesus stretches forth his hand. He grabs him and says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And he joins the disciples in the ship as the wind immediately stops, and they begin to worship him. Now, as we look at this, what I see here from Peter is an extraordinary act of faith. An extraordinary act of faith. For him to step out on the water, to have that desire to walk on the water, it's an extraordinary act of faith. And I'm telling you tonight, that's something we can equate to, is that I can walk on water or I can accomplish an extraordinary act of faith in my life if I follow what Peter did here. If I look at what happened in this passage and see what Peter did. Now, although we'll never walk on water, God has some incredible things planned for your life. And that only can be accomplished by faith like Peter. By faith. Peter's example of faith. Perhaps by faith it's being a better witness at school. By faith being a better witness at work. Maybe it's by faith getting involved in a ministry here at the church. It could be by faith giving of your finances, or by faith increasing your faith promise mission giving. It could be by faith going into ministry. Whatever it might be, if you're going to accomplish great things by faith, you've got to follow the example of Peter here. And I want to show you a few things tonight. First of all, if you want to walk on water, if you want to walk on water, if you want to accomplish things by faith, you have to acknowledge God in your life. Acknowledge God in your life. Look at this. Chapter number 14. Verse 27, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He makes himself aware. He makes his disciples know, don't be afraid, it's I, it's Jesus. I love it. Here's another example of God saying, I am that I am. It is I. That should be enough. It is I. And it's hard not to go 100 different directions with this passage. There's so many great things here, but we're going to stay on task. And he says, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, and said, Lord, Lord. Now, I think as we read this, that might be something that we would kind of glance over or go past, but this was a recognition by Peter himself that this is his Lord, that this is the Christ. Can I tell you this tonight, that without Christ present, this story would not have happened? Without Jesus Christ there, Peter would not walk on the water. I'll tell you tonight, as we look at this example of faith, there was nothing extraordinary about Peter himself. There was nothing of the stars aligning and the kind of the physics all working together at one moment in time for him to be able to walk on water. I'm telling you, the reason why he walked on water is because it started with his acknowledgement of Jesus Christ and his presence in his life. And I'm telling you, long before we'll make any kind of steps of faith, or long before we can make any kind of great accomplishments in our faith, it has to begin with the acknowledgement that I cannot do it without Jesus Christ. There's no ability in myself. All the power, all the glory is through him. Matthew 19, 26, but Jesus beheld him and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. With men walking on the water is impossible, but with God, with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And here we see Peter beginning with the acknowledgement that this is not some strange spirit. This is not a shadow of my imagination. This is my Lord. This is my Lord who can do anything. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can I tell you this evening that our faith is only as good as the object we place it in? Had Peter's faith been in himself, nothing would have happened other than him sinking. Had Peter's faith been in the water, nothing would have happened other than him sinking. Had Peter's faith been in the others in the boat or the boat itself or whatever the case might be, he would find himself drowning in no time flat. But I'm telling you here tonight, because of his faith in Jesus Christ, he was able to walk on the water. That's where it begins. It's an acknowledgement of Jesus and his presence in my life. He acknowledged him as Lord with just one word, Lord. Now, it's one thing to acknowledge Jesus. It's another thing to acknowledge him as Lord. Many believe he exists, but they don't believe in him. James 2:19 tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. We have to more than just believe in who he is. We have to believe in his ability to transform my life. It's not enough for Peter to stand there and say, yeah, well, he was Lord, and then never do anything with it. He put that into action. We'll talk about it in just a minute. But here he is. He believes in who Jesus is and what Jesus is able to do. And here he is. He's aware of Jesus and his control over his life. Now, I want to ask you this tonight. Jesus may be your Savior, but is he your Lord? Is he your Lord? To be a Lord is to be supreme, to be controller. Here is Peter, just with one word, understanding that you, Jesus, my Lord, have the control. You have the power. You have the ability. You have the direction in my life. With just one word is his acknowledgement of that. And I'm telling you, if we're ever going to walk on water, if we're ever going to accomplish great things by faith, it begins with that acknowledgement that you are the Lord of my life. You are supreme. You are the God who can do anything with and through me. And that's right where Peter finds himself, acknowledging God and his presence and dominion over his life. We've got to acknowledge God for who he is before we'll ever walk on water. Now, the second thing is this, is if you're going to walk on water, you have to know it's God's will. You have to know it's God's will. Listen to this, verse 28. Peter says this, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. He says, I'm not moving from this boat until I know that you're okay with that. I'm not taking that step of faith until I know that it's your will. Bid me come. Here he is, he's asking God for his will. He acknowledged that he is the Lord, that he's the ruler of his life, that he's in control. And now he's saying, is it your will? Is it your will for me to walk on the water? Now, I can't tell you this for sure, but I believe that God put it in the heart of Peter to ask this question. I don't think this is Peter just on some whim and I'm just going to kind of show everybody up and how great I am and I'm going to ask to step on the water. I believe God put it in his heart. There's no doubt he had the desire to be with Christ, the one he knew who could deliver him. But he asked him, Lord, should I come? Bid me come. He wanted to be sure that God was in it. Now, I'll tell you this, if we're going to make a step of faith, if we're going to follow God, if we're going to accomplish great things for God, we have to know it's his will. Now, there's some things tonight that we don't even have to ask the question of whether or not it's God's will. It's revealed within his word. I'm telling you, you don't have to ask God, God, by faith, do I need to go to church? The answer already is yes. You don't have to ask God tonight, hey, God, by faith, do I need to tithe? You don't have to ask that question. The answer is already revealed in Scripture. You don't have to ask God, hey, God, by faith, do I need to be truthful in every situation that presents itself in my life? Those are questions we don't have to ask. Should I witness? Should I be kind? That's part of God's revealed will. But I'll tell you, there will be times where we do have to ask God, God, is this your will? God, should I take this step? God, should I begin to follow in this direction? If it is your will, would you show it to me? Would you show it to me? And if he knew that God was in it, he knew that God would enable him to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I'm telling you, if it's something of stepping out of faith, maybe it's taking a new job. I want to know that God is in it before I'm going to take that step of faith of accepting a new job. I don't care if the raise is double of what you're making now. I have to know that God's in it. Moving out of town or maybe making a financial commitment or a plethora of other things we could talk about or going into ministry or making some kind of move in our life or pursuing someone that we may think God has for us. We have to ask ourselves, is this God's will for my life? I have to know that it's God's will, because if I don't know that it's God's will, I'll find myself sinking immediately. You know what I love here is Peter didn't do this. He didn't say, God, here I come. You better make sure I walk on water. He didn't say, Lord, this is my will for you and my life. He didn't say, here I come. I'm stepping out of the boat. I'm coming to you. You better make sure I don't fall in this water. But how many times do we find ourselves in that situation saying, God, I'm telling God what I'm going to do. God, this is the next step I'm going to take. Instead of asking the Lord to direct our steps, we're directing our own steps and telling and asking God to bless it. That's not the way it works. That's not how faith happens. Here it is. Peter says, I'm not stepping out of this boat until I know that it's your will. And that ought to be our approach when it comes to great acts of faith in our life, when it comes to following and being obedient to God. We better make sure that whatever it is God's will, that we're convinced that God is in it, because if God is in it, he'll help us to walk on the water. Now, I love it. Jesus responds with just one word. Come. Come. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. Jesus responds, come. It was his will for him to step out of that boat and to go walking to him on the water. Now, as I talk about this and I talk about responding by faith, that doesn't mean we throw common sense out the window and say, well, I'm just going to live by faith. I'm going to quit my job and God's going to take care of me. That's not the way I'm talking about, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here, but understanding that God has a plan for our lives, and I want to know his plan before I take a next step. I'm telling you, I wouldn't move across the street if I didn't know God was in it. Amen. And here's Peter. He says, I'm not going until I know it's your will. And had he stepped on the water without knowing it to be God's will, he would have sunk, no matter how much faith he had. No matter how convinced he was that God was supposed to, that he was supposed to do it, without it being God's will, nothing would have happened, short of him drowning. So now that you find yourself acknowledging God and you know that it's his will, whatever that step of faith may be, the next thing you have to do to walk on water is get out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Take a step of faith. Here's Peter. He knew it was God's will to walk on water. He says, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus responds with, come. But this never would have happened if he'd not taken that first step of faith. All the belief in the world doesn't do us a lick of good if we're not willing to act by faith. It doesn't matter how much faith that Peter had, he knows it's God's will and it means nothing if he's not willing to put that faith into action. He could have had all the head knowledge, all the heart knowledge, all the belief that he wanted. He could have talked about it all he wanted, but had he never stepped out of the boat, he never would have walked on water. He never would have begun to accomplish what God wanted to do here in giving us a great story of faith here with Peter. But it's time to take a step of faith. It's time to take a step of faith. You know, the Bible tells us in James that faith without works is dead. No, it doesn't mean you don't have faith without works, but it says your faith without works is dead. That's all it is. It's faith. It's not a faith that works. And what's sad is that many times Christians find themselves having faith but never living by faith. There's a difference. Okay, I could say here that I have faith that this chair can hold me, but I'm not sitting in it. That's great. I have faith. Yeah, I have faith that it's going to hold me, but I've never put that faith into action until I sit down and exercise that faith. And many times as Christians, we say, oh, I have faith that God can do this, or I believe that God can do that, or I know that God could help me in this area, but we never act by faith. It's time for us to step out of the boat and put our faith into action. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But here's what we're guilty of is we want to make steps by what we can see. Even though the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, had Peter relied on this point by his sight, if at this instance in this story he relied on his sight, this is a crazy man to step out of that boat. Who in their right mind would do that? But he wasn't looking at it by his sight. He was looking at it by his faith, and for that reason, he could step out of the boat. But how many instances in our life are we looking at by sight and not by faith? And we find ourselves staying in the boat. You have to take that step of faith in serving Him. You have to take that step of faith in being a witness for Him. You have to take that step of faith in following His plan for your life. You have to take that step of faith in being the husband that God wants you to be, or being the wife that God wants you to be, or being the father or the mother or the child that God wants you to be. You have to take those steps of faith. And sometimes we got to get out of the boat and take a step of faith to be the Christian that God wants us to be. God desires for His children to live by faith, not by sight. But when you make that decision to get out of the boat, be willing to be the only one. You know what's amazing to me, and I'm guilty of this as well, is we give Peter a hard time for this. Oh, foolish Peter, getting out of the boat, and he's sunk. There was more than one person in that boat. The Bible didn't tell us how many disciples, but it could have been the whole slew of them. Yet only one had the faith to step out of the boat. And he was all alone. And I'll tell you, in your lives, when you make that decision that, you know what, I don't care what people around me say, I don't care what my family might think, or I don't care what the world might say or might think, I'm going to step out by faith, be willing to be the only one stepping out of the boat. But I'm telling you, you might be the only one stepping out of the boat, but you'll have Jesus right there on the water with you. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And as you make that decision by faith to get out of the boat, humanly speaking, you might be the only one. But I'll tell you, spiritually speaking, you're never alone. You're never alone. And you won't regret it. I don't think for one second Peter regretted this decision. We're talking about him tonight. He's recorded in Scripture. He's going to be talked about for all of eternity for this step of faith. And although sometimes we may give him a hard time for being that one that stepped out and did that, and maybe we thought it was foolish, I'll tell you this, he was the one that had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Be willing to be the only one and know that you're never alone. And you won't regret stepping out by faith. And as we think about that, as we think about getting out of the boat, I know that he was alone here, and I know that it was a step of faith, but in thinking about that boat, don't be afraid to leave what feels safe. When God moves in your heart, or God leads you, or God directs you to take a step of faith, don't be afraid to leave what feels safe. Humanly speaking, this is the best chance of survival that Peter had. This was the safest place in the storm for Peter to be. Not in the water. I don't know a lot about boats. I don't know a lot about water, but if there's a storm, I probably have a slightly better chance if I stay in the vessel that floats than jumping in the water. They didn't have life jackets. Peter had been a fisherman. He'd been around. He'd been on the water. No doubt, this is not the first storm he encountered. As far as I can tell, there wasn't great peril of them dying other than they're just kind of going contrary to the wind, and they're going in circles in the water, and they're not making any progress. But here we see the best chance of survival is staying in the boat. That's the safe place. But Peter says, I've asked God. He's revealed it. He said it His will. He's asked me to come, and by faith, I'm going to step out and leave that place that's safe and comfortable. And so many times, God is calling on us to do something by faith, but we refuse to leave, we refuse to step out because it means leaving a place that's safe or comfortable or easy. So many times, it's what keeps us from serving. Well, I'd get more involved, but I'll tell you, kids just really aren't my thing. That's out of my comfort zone, so I don't think I'm going to get involved in that. Well, I would sing in the choir, and the Lord has blessed me with a pretty good voice, and I'd do that, but man, getting up in front of people, that's just not my thing. I couldn't do that. Well, I would teach and help in a Sunday school class, but you know, opening God's Word, that's just something that I couldn't do. Sometimes we just need to get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we just need to, by faith, step out of that safe place and go where God has led us and respond and act by faith. Sometimes that's what keeps us from witnessing. Well, Brother Aaron, I would come out on Saturday morning and I would knock on doors, but I'm terrified to talk to people on doors, door to door by myself. And I'll tell you, it's not an easy thing to do. It can be intimidating. Knocking on someone's door, having no idea who's going to open up the door on the other side, having no idea how that visit's going to go. But I'll tell you what, you'll never lead a person going door to door soul winning if you don't go door to door soul winning. Right. It's not going to happen. Sometimes we got to get out of our comfort zone. I don't like this. I don't like the way this feels. It's not safe. It makes me uneasy. But by stepping out by faith, we begin to walk on the water and see God do great things. Amen. By walking on water and stepping out of that boat. Sometimes that's what keeps us from giving. Well, I would give of my tithe and offerings if I could see a way that it all worked out financially. If I could see the way that God would take care of me, then I would do that. You know, we just came through this a couple months ago, the faith promise giving, we give by faith. That God is going to enable me. I'm going to step out of the boat. I'm going to leave what's safe and what's comfortable. Maybe I can't put as much into savings as I'd like to because I'm going to give a little bit more to missions, but that's okay. That's a step of faith. Amen. That's a step of faith to get out of that boat, get out of that place that's safe or comfortable, or serving God to get out of that place that's safe and comfortable. I think about the Lindsays tonight heading back to Peru. If you've never set foot on a foreign mission field, I'm telling you, that's stepping out of what's safe and what's comfortable and what seems easy. That's getting out of the boat. And we don't have to go to those extremes where we're getting out of our comfort zone and say, all right, tonight I'm going to go to the worst place in the country. I'm going to go to the worst place in the world and start serving there. If God's not in it, you're going to drown. But if God does call you, then go. Then step out. But the idea is the willingness that, hey, God, whatever you lead me to do, I'm going to leave that safe place. I'm going to step out by faith. But too many times we find ourselves wanting to stay where it's safe and comfortable. And we're more like those disciples than Peter. We watch other people walk on water, but we never do it ourselves. We never experience faith in God ourselves. Well, that's good for them. Well, I've seen them do that. Well, it worked out for them, all right, but we haven't experienced it for ourselves. It's high time for us to step out of the boat. And it's in times like these that we can see God work in our lives when we fully trust in Him. The last thing is this: in order to walk on water, you have to stay focused on Him. Now, Peter didn't do great at this. And I believe had he stayed focused on Christ, he would have walked as long as it was God's will for him to walk. But we've got to stay focused on Him. I'm not going to look back in the boat and see who's not in the water with me. I'm not going to look at the circumstances going on around me. When I'm acting and living by faith and stepping out of that boat and walking on that water, I have to have my eyes on Him, focused on Him. Don't look at the storm. You know, God never told Peter, hey, when you step out of the boat, guess what? The water, woo, it's going to be done. Storm is over. God never told him that. God never told him it was going to be easy. But as he began to look at his surroundings, he began to sink. I think about it this way, that Peter gets out there, he steps out of the boat, he's looking at Jesus, and he's beginning to walk by faith on the water. I don't know how many steps he took. I don't know if he took 3. I don't know if he took 13. But he's walking on water. At some point, he probably looks down and thinks, wow, I'm walking on water. But as he does that, he realizes, wow, I'm walking on water. And the wind is boisterous and it's blowing and it's splashing him in the face, and he begins to see what's going on and begins to kind of take a recognition of what's happening around him, and he gets his focus on everything going around him, and he begins to sink. And he cries out to the Lord, save me, save me. This happened because he got his eyes off the Lord. I'm telling you, it's great. If you get to the point where you've acknowledged God in your life and you know it's His will and you step out of the boat by faith, I'm telling you, if you want to continue by faith, your eyes have to be on Him. You can't look at what's going on around you. You can't look at the difficulty that's happening around you. Our focus has to be on Him and on Him alone. And fear and doubt is the enemy of faith. Fear and doubt is the enemy of faith. But faith can overcome any fear and any doubt. So yeah, we might be in a place where we're tempted to fear or to be doubtful, but I'm telling you, faith in God and our eyesight on Him and paying attention to Him and focusing on Him and spending time with Him can overcome any fear or doubt that we have. Amen. Look at the Savior. Our Savior is greater than the storms. I want you to see this real quick and we'll finish. It says in verse number 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, I think sometimes we look at that and we say that Peter had little faith. Jesus said here he had little faith. And we think sometimes that he had just a small amount of faith. That, you know, here's the faith pie, and Peter just took a small little sliver of it. And that's what he went on with. I don't believe that's what the Lord's talking about. He said, Lord, he says, Peter, you possessed all the faith that you needed, but it was small. It was immature. It wasn't grown to the strength and the power and the size that it could be. O thou of little faith. You know, Jesus said that just a faith the size of a grain of mustard seed can move a mountain. So it's not about having a certain slither or a certain pie, a cut of the pie of faith. It's about having faith itself. And by having a faith itself, you have enough faith to walk on water. But as that faith increases, not in our ability, not in what we're doing, but in God and His ability, we'll find ourselves walking on water. But then you've got the doubt. You've got the fear that creeps in, and we begin to take our focus off the Savior, and we'll find ourselves sinking. But only as we focus on Christ and stay committed to Him will we learn Him and see Him work in our lives. At that moment, our faith will be strengthened. Our faith will be strengthened. We looked at this. Here's Peter. He acknowledges God. He says, Lord. Here it is. We see that he knows it's God's will. He says, if it be thy will, bid me come unto thee. And Jesus says, come. But then he had to get out of the boat. He had to exercise that faith, put that faith into action. And he could have continued to walk on the water if he would have stayed focused on Him. I want to ask you tonight, have you ever walked on water? No, I'm not talking physically. I'm not talking like Peter here physically. But I'm talking in terms of faith. Can you look back in your life and see where God ever used you to walk on water? Can I tell you, if the answer is no, it's not because of a lack of power from God. It's not a lack of ability on His part. It's an unwillingness for us to acknowledge Him, to seek His will, to step out of the boat, and to stay focused on Him. God desires that we live a life of faith. Are you walking by faith? I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you walking by faith tonight? Are you spiritually walking on water? Are you seeing God do great things in your lives? There were several different illustrations I had thought about sharing them from my own life, but the Lord didn't lead and direct that way. But I'm telling you, if you've experienced that yourself personally, you know how great it is to know that God could use you to do something by faith. Perhaps the problem is tonight that you've not acknowledged God. Or maybe tonight you've not been seeking His will. It might be possible tonight you very well know what God's will is for your life. You know the step that He wants you to take, but you won't get out of the boat because that's the place that's safe and comfortable. Maybe here tonight and you have walked on water, but you've found yourself sinking. Stay focused on Him. Stay focused on Christ. Through faith, spiritually, we can walk on water. Father, we thank You so much for the service tonight. Thank You for just Your word. Thank You for just speaking to my heart, Lord, and using me to deliver Your message. And Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us to respond, Lord, to how You've spoken to our heart. Lord, I pray that You help us to get out of the boat and spiritually walk on water. Father, I pray that You bless the invitation now. Again, help us to respond how You spoke to us. In Christ's name we pray.